It's KUOW Seattle. I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for tuning in. I have a question for you. What kind of medical care would you want if you had Alzheimer's or dementia? That's an uncomfortable question, but you might be better off answering it now before dementia comes on. And here's a new tool to help you do that from an internist at UW Medicine. It tells your doctor and loved ones what kind of treatment you would want at each stage of dementia. Dr. Bharat Gaster, welcome to KUOW.
Hi, great to be here.
Also with us is someone who has filled out this directive. Carl Pergam is 76 years old, lives in Redmond. Hi, Carl.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you. I want to first ask Dr. Gaster, I'm looking at your form right here, and it outlines the different stages of dementia. If I had mild dementia, then if I had moderate dementia, why do you do that?
Dementia is a really unique and difficult problem in that people, it's a very, very slow, gradual decline in cognitive function. And so people's quality of life will very gradually decline, and their ability to make decisions about their own medical care will also gradually decline. And so you can't say, if I have dementia, I want this. It really is, what would I want at various stages of dementia? Because dementia is a changing condition as people go through it.
And those are imperfect definitions, of course, at any spot in time. My mother has dementia. You know, I'm learning this. These things ebb and flow. So there's that. But what is a typical example of what a patient would choose? Give us an idea. What are these choices?
Yeah, I mean, so when somebody has mild dementia, their quality of life can still actually be quite good.
Yes.
You know, they can really still enjoy a lot of things, interact with their loved ones. And so they may, at that early stage, say, you know, I do want most care to keep me alive longer. But then as somebody's cognitive function worsens and they lose the ability to interact with the world around them and recognize their loved ones, many people would say, you know, gee, that is not a quality of life that has a lot of meaning to me. And people see the difficulty that people with moderate and severe dementia can experience in terms of fear and anxiety and discomfort. And many people would say, gee, as my cognitive function gets worse, as I get to those stages of dementia, that is not necessarily a life that I want prolonged with medical care. Okay. And instead, I would choose care that is really focused on comfort, keeping me comfortable. And so it's a very caring kind of care, but it is not care with the goal of keeping me alive longer.
Okay, and of course, I have questions about that. I want to pause there, Doctor, and ask Carl. Carl, why did you decide to fill out this advanced dementia directive?
My wife and I already have living wills, and we've had them for many years. I'm a retired physician. My wife is a retired physician. I have a son who's a physician at Fred Hutchinson and SCCA who deals with patients with terminal events and cancer, as obviously. But I thought this was a little bit to the side of what a typical advanced directive is. It was something where I could really look at it and say, this is what I want. I want to make the decision. I don't want to force my family, my kids. I have two children, to make that decision and be uncomfortable about the decision. I've seen people in similar situations as dementia progresses. I've been involved in that in a peripheral way. I'm a radiologist, so I don't have due primary care. But I thought this added something to my advanced directive, my living will.
Do you mind sharing with us a decision you made, or would you rather keep that private?
No, that's fine.
Okay, what did you direct?
As an example, supposing I don't know what's going on in the world. I'm being helped around by my wife or a caregiver, and I get pneumonia, and somebody gets me to the emergency room. And here I am in the hospital now. I've been admitted. I have pneumonia. They're going to start me on IV antibiotics. Maybe I need to be intubated, have a tube put in my... I don't want that. If my level of dementia is such that my quality of life is no longer there, I'm just there. So that's an example. Another example would be, yes, I have a low-grade fever on a chest X-ray. I have a small area of pneumonia. I don't need to be in the hospital. I can be treated as an outpatient. So it makes it much easier for my family to say, how far should we go?
Carl, what happens if you make that decision as you've made, and then the time comes later and you're in some stage of dementia and you say something very different? Now, I do want this life support, or I want to be in the hospital instead of at home. But you've got this signed document. Then what happens?
I would hope in that situation that those people taking care of me, whether it be my wife at that time, my children, would understand where I was, what I understood, how much I knew at the time when I made the initial decision, and say, no, Dad, I think it's a good idea for you to just stop right there. I don't know that you need to be intubated. I don't know that you need to have IV antibiotics. Let's go home and let's enjoy life.
Well, that's a nice way to put it, but you won't have that choice, right? Doctor? This will be, you're going to go by the document, not what the patient in front of you is saying.
So, no.
Oh, okay.
But yeah,
please explain.
You have hit upon the absolutely most important part about this document, which is that this is not a legally binding document.
Aha. Uh-huh.
This is a communication tool. This is a tool that people can use to express what their wishes are now that can be used in the future by somebody's future surrogate decision maker for healthcare. So if somebody loses the ability to understand the meaning of a medical decision they have to make in the future, that decision will fall to a shared decision, ultimately the durable power of attorney for healthcare, and that person is often really stuck in a very uncomfortable position of trying to guess what the person would want and how much they understand about the decision that is before them. And at all times, it really is the decision of that surrogate decision maker. And this is a tool that can help to inform that decision, as could a conversation with the person at that moment. You know, so this document does not overrule what somebody's wishes are at the time. But what really commonly happens is the patient is not able to fully understand what the pros and cons of a decision are. Whatever their wishes are really should be taken into account at that time as much as absolutely possible. But often it is trying to imagine if this person could fully understand what was going on, what would they want, and this form is an opportunity to as a tool to see what they had thought in the past, which should be somewhat of a guide for what they might want now.
It's a guide, a communication tool. Okay, that's hugely important. So thanks for making that clear. Carl, what is your experience with someone who has dementia and is trying to make decisions that you don't know whether that they're for that person's ultimate benefit?
I can honestly say I am a radiologist, so I don't deal with primary patients.
Mm-hmm.
So I have never dealt with a patient who had dementia and subsequently was asked to make a decision. I do know that the problem that occurs, whether it's dementia or any other life-saving or life-benefiting situation, that the problem comes often with the other members of the family. In fact, I even consulted my attorney with the form, and I sent it to her, and she said, these forms, whether it be a living will or this advanced directive for dementia, are in a sense only as good as the paper they're written on, because at that time, things can change and the patient can get involved, as you say, or the family can get involved and say, no, I'm the third brother and the other ones have taken care of the family. And now I'm the guy that was on the out and I don't want something to happen. I don't want this to be done to Dad or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when I give this form out to people, the thing that I tell them is the most important thing is that they talk to their loved ones, the people who would be the decision makers for them, about what their values and wishes are as outlined in the form. And so this form is a way of structuring that conversation, anchoring that conversation, facilitating that conversation that can be drawn upon later when that person is in what is often a really excruciating spot of having to make decisions on their family member's behalf.
How much weight do we know it's wise to put on a decision that someone made before dementia set in compared with the person who is living a situation that earlier version of themselves, I can't imagine what dementia might or will be like for me and what I'm going to want, and my priorities might change. Is it fair to make decisions for future me based on what I think of as important or dignified or all kinds of things that are really hard for me to define?
Sure. I mean, to a large extent, people's wishes, as best as you can tell them in the moment, should be the most important thing. And but, you know, the very common situation is, you know, so, I mean, which is why the mild dementia aspect is a little bit, it's a little bit more of a stretch, because generally speaking, for most medical decisions, people still are competent to make them when they have mild dementia. And so by putting mild dementia on this form, it really is a way of just facilitating the conversation and the understanding that this is a gradual decline that people have in their cognitive function and their quality of life. But that once people reach the point of moderate and severe dementia, they really will not fully be able to understand the consequences of a complex medical decision like, you know, should I be hooked up to a ventilator or not? Mm-hmm. You know, that the potential harms that some medical interventions like that can cause when people have moderate and severe dementia are considerable. And people, the without a form like this, when people are in limbo and are feel afraid to make a decision, not being sure what the person would have wanted, and they truly aren't able to make that decision for themselves, can really lead to people getting a lot more invasive and problematic care that causes suffering, that if you were able to bring back the person from 5 or 10 years ago to look down on themselves, they would say, good gosh, I do not want this being done to me. And a form like this is a way to facilitate that communication from your past self to your current self, who isn't truly able to understand.
Carl, it's hard enough to fill out a living will, an advance directive. Most of us don't want to think about death, even though that is guaranteed, much less something that, boy, I don't know if I'm going to go through that. I don't really want to think about dementia, although I am now, as I said, my mother's in this situation. But what has it been like for you to contemplate and plan for the case of your own dementia? What's that like?
I find it not difficult at all. I think that I have known a number of people who have not looked at this in the future. It's just happened. If you plan on it, you can discuss it with your family. They know what you want. They know what's best for you, what you think is best for you. I found it very easy. It was something, in fact, when Dr. Gaster gave it to me, I thought, wow, this is a great idea, because this goes beyond my living will. This is another part of me that my family now knows what I want to happen to me. And it's kind of fascinating to think that I brought this home, and my wife's also a physician or a pediatrician, and I showed it to her, and she said she thought it was a pretty good idea as well. And then I asked her to fill it out, and I said, what do you think? And she says, oh, good, I'll fill it out. It's interesting. We've been married almost 52 years. The exact responses were the same. her response and my response were the same. And so I am really comfortable and happy with the fact that my children now know, my wife now knows, everybody knows where I'm going, what direction I'm going in. And I look at it as a positive thing in my future. I don't have to worry about this for my family and so forth. So it, for me, it was easy.
Carl Pergam, who lives in Redmond, found it easy to do something that maybe you have a hard time or would rather not think about. But it just sounds like it's been a comfort and a nice conversation.
Absolutely.
Between you and your wife. Carl, thanks for telling us about your personal experience with this.
It's a pleasure.
And Dr. Barak Gaster, University of Washington Medicine, has developed this Advanced Dementia Directive. And if you want to find out more about it, the website is dementia, is that a hyphen?
Yeah.
Directive.org?
Correct. Yep. www.dementia-directive.org. Anybody can download a copy of the form for free. Feel free to use it and share it and have conversations about it.
Well, of course, we're tweeting that out right now, so follow us at KUOW. Doctor, thanks to you as well.
Yeah, thanks for having me.